All right, will you turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 24? Joshua 24. Does anybody know what verse is in Joshua 24 that we're going to read today? Does anyone know? Does it just scream out at you? Choose you this day whom you will serve. I love that verse. Such a powerful verse. Because of time constraints, and I found this out in the first service. All right, I'm not going to read through the chapter yet. A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, and yet one of the most valuable assets in our society. And so I hope that we're not part of the culture that disses or dismisses dads. It's important. And not all important, but it's important. Happy Father's Day. And maybe you don't look at your dad as having a cape. That's okay. You find out that dads don't have capes as you get older. But still, happy Father's Day. Can I ask you a question? What's the difference between these two pictures? What's the difference between these two photos? You may have to look carefully. They're both by Norman Rockwell. They're both by Norman Rockwell. They're both going to church. Laurel. I'm sorry? Okay. Good effort? No, but thank you. Okay, the father's there and not there. Did you notice dad in the one? Dad's reading the paper. Dad's taking it easy. In the other, dad is there. And today, I want to talk to you about, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, this is Joshua saying that. Can I ask you a question that you don't know the answer to? What was Joshua's wife's name? Okay. How many children did Joshua have? Name them. Name either of the children that Joshua had. And if you look at me and say, I don't know. And you say, I don't know. Guess what? I don't know either. Because the Bible doesn't tell us how many children he had. Now, will you forgive me for assuming that he's a dad? He's at least a husband, I would think. Because here he is, he's saying, as for me and my house, it's not his four walls. Those people that live in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, can I ask? Now, I understand that in every house we don't have Christian dads. I so understand that. I understand that sometimes we don't have dads at all. I understand that. So, that aside, that's really, it's Father's Day. But is that our commitment this morning? Is that our commitment that my house, as far as I'm concerned, my part in it, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. Because if we say that, we are joining a 110-year-old man and the advice that he gave. Now, can you imagine? My mom was just 80. She had been 80 a few months now when she passed away. Here this Joshua is. He's 100 and 10 years old. And he's giving us advice. Now, who was Joshua? Well, Joshua is best known as Moses' second in command. In fact, we meet Joshua in Exodus 17, really not long after they've come out of Egypt. And we meet Joshua, and he's one of Moses' helpers. He's really Moses' chief helper. So he's a young man. In fact, the Bible several times says that Joshua is a young man. This man, Joshua, he had faith in God and trusted him to defeat the giants in his life. Do you remember that? When they were going to go into the promised land, 12 men went to spy out Canaan. Joshua and Caleb saw the grapes. They saw the cities. They saw the wonderful things. And they said, wow! They went back to the people and said, yeah, let's go forward. God's going to give this. Let's trust Him. We can do this. Let's do this. The other 10 spies said, no, those people are big. We can't overtake them. I don't care what God has said. We can't. Joshua trusted the Lord with the giant problems in his life and the life of others. Wonderful man to be like. Wonderful man to take advice from. And then Joshua led the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death. He led the Israelites into the promised land after Moses' death. And really, we're going to come up with this now. They're in the promised land, and it says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Well, after what things? After these things. After what things did he die? Well, let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. And this is where, if you want to keep your Bible open, we're going to go through. It says, and Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for the judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. So Joshua, he, as his 110-year-old self, he says, all the leaders, you come. I want to have a chat. So he calls them. Can I ask you this? How important is leadership? How important is leadership in a home, in a church, in a community, in a country? How important is it? Well, Joshua, he started with the leaders. And this command and this expectation, his presenting them a choice, it's starting with the leaders. Now let me get sidetracked just for a minute. Just because I know of too many people who have grown up in homes that mom and dad did not love God. In fact, the only time they knew God's name was in a swear word. Does that mean that if that's the case, that we just say, well, my folks, my home's not good. I just don't care. It's over for me. No! In fact, I've known too many people where the Lord, He brings them out of that. In fact, Abram was just that. Abraham, he was just that. Abraham served, and we'll get to it in a minute, he served the moon and the stars. Abraham's dad. And so part of me says, you know what? Leadership is very important, and it is. But God can put that spark in our hearts to love Him no matter what our leadership does. So what was His advice? He said these two things. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And you know what? To fear the Lord has an idea of reverence, to put Him first, to serve Him, to make Him top. And serve Him in sincerity and truth. It's not good enough just to be sincere. Somebody finish this statement for me. You can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. So sincere is not enough. Sincere is good. Sincere is the idea of, oh, how I love Jesus, when everyone else is seeing you. And when everyone else is not seeing you, still being, oh, how I love Jesus, when no one else is seeing what you're seeing on the internet, when no one else is seeing what's going on in your heart. He says, serve the Lord with sincerity and truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. This is the verse. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. If you're not going to serve God, well, you're going to serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let me ask you something. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? Is that the decision? Is that the choice that you've made for your family, for yourself? As for me and my house, I want to follow Him. First thing I want you to notice this morning is what advice would a 110-year-old godly dad give us? First of all, understand that you are going to worship or serve something. You are going to worship or serve something. He says this. He says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And He doesn't say that we're not going to serve anything. He says we're either going to serve the Lord or what? We're going to choose to serve something else. And it's not that we're going to necessarily go, okay, I'm going to serve a good-looking body. So on Sunday mornings, I'm going to be sure and be in the weight room. Is that what they still do that? Exercise, whatever. On Sunday mornings, doesn't mean that we'll necessarily have a set hour, but that's going to be what we want. That's going to be what we desire. That's going to be what we put to the top of importance. We're going to serve something. And He says, okay, you're either going to serve God or you're going to serve something else. He says, either follow the Lord, fear the Lord and serve Him, and put away the gods of your fathers you serve. So it's either serve the Lord and put the gods away, or you end up going to serve in the other gods. We're going to worship. We're going to serve something. We're going to be about something. And it can just be as simple as my comfort. We're going to worship something. For example, we don't have a choice of whether we eat or not. I have a choice as to what I'm going to eat later. I can't choose whether I eat or not, because if I don't eat, I'm going to starve. It's going to kill me. I can choose how much I breathe. I can choose. When I'm puffed, or I can be the cool guy. But I have to breathe. And just like that, you know what? We're going to worship something. We are. That's just what we do. And that's what we do. Next, and Joshua said unto the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Understand that we are going to serve, worship something, and sometimes that might be influenced by our family. It says that Terah, Abraham's dad, they served the god of the nightlife. They served the moon and the stars. And we would look today and say, that's so silly. Why would anybody worship the moon? Why would anybody worship the stars? But you know what? I know people who live for the nightlife. They will sleep all day long just to get up in time to go out partying and enjoying the nightlife. They may not be bowing down to the moon or the stars, but having that fun and that what the nightlife offers, sometimes we're affected by the influence of our family. Sometimes we're affected by the people that are around us, by the gods that they serve, the culture that we live in, our mates, the people we go to school with, the people we work with, and other people. We see what's important to them, and they seem cool. They seem to have it all together, and because they're doing that, it affects us. We think that's what we should have. Well, sometimes we worship what we worship. We're going to worship because we're influenced by others. Sometimes it's just ourselves. What really enthralls us? What makes us tick? We're going to worship something. We need to make sure that we're worshiping the right thing. It says in verse 3, and I took your father Abraham from the other side. The next thing is we worship because others worship. We make the choice. And then we worship because of what we're going to get out of it. We dedicate our lives to something because we're going to get something from it. We serve it because, well, you know what? The Lord says, I want you to follow me. And I want you to look what He's done for them. In verse 3, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood throughout all the land of Canaan. I gave him children. I gave him Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. Now I blessed Esau and let him do his thing. And then I sent Moses and Aaron. And whatever problem you were going through, I plagued Egypt. I did all these things and I brought you out. The Lord is saying, you know what? You ought to serve me because of what? Of how I bless you. I look after you no matter what problem you're going through. I'm there. I'm able to help. And what's really cool in all these verses, I love it. You know, Don't we put God in a box sometimes? And we say, well, God can do, answer my prayer request. I've got this burden on my heart. And God has to heal that burden. He has to work this problem out. The only way I can see that He can do that is this. And then all of a sudden, we find out that God doesn't live in our little box that we have Him in. He's got all kinds of other ways that He's working and that He can do things, and the great big ways that we didn't see. He says in verse number 6, brought your fathers out in Egypt, and Egypt pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen of the Red Sea. Let me ask you, is there any problem you got going on? Do you have any problems? You got any things going on that you don't understand, that you don't have worked out? Can we trust Him with them? Let's follow Him. Let's follow Him. Let's seek to please Him. Notice what He says in verse 7. When they cried unto the Lord, He put darkness between you. I mean, you got darkness up your sleeve? I don't have darkness up my sleeve. Somebody asked me to help them. I don't have darkness. I don't have bees either. In a second, he's going to talk about bees that he had. You know, the Lord drove them out with bees. Now, how cool is that with hornets? You know, here we are. We limit God in what we think He can do, when actually He's just incredible. And I realize it seems awfully self-centered. But as one man said, God is most glorified in us when we are most pleased in Him. And really, He does look after us, not because we're flash. We don't walk up to God and say, God, it's me again. You're lucky. No. He's gracious. He's loving. And He cares. Second thing we need to understand, that what or whom we choose to worship has consequences. We need to understand what or whom we choose to worship has consequences. And I brought you into the land of Amorites, which dwelt on the other side Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them. Now the Amorites, they were not serving God. The children of Israel were serving God. They both had endured the consequences of what they served and what they believed. God looked after them even in religious situations. Balak asked Balaam to curse the children of Israel, and Balaam couldn't. The Lord was with them. You went over Jordan, came into Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Here, you know, here they are. They're huge. They're big. They're powerful. And yet, they didn't follow God. It makes a difference whether we trust Him. In fact, did you notice the last little phrase? He says, I delivered you. It wasn't your greatness. I delivered you. Verse number 12, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with the sword, not with the bow. And I gave you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them. And the vineyards and the oliveyards which you planted not, do you eat? The idea is what? You know what? When we live a life that puts God first, it's not that He's, and please, please listen well here. I'm not saying that if you honor the Lord, that everything is going to go your way. I'm not preaching that everything is always good if you trust the Lord. It's not. In fact, sometimes it can be harder. But the fact, there's the consequences of trusting the Lord. In the mall, he says, I was there. In the mall. In the mall, he says, I'm there. In the mall. Whether they're battling any of the tights, the Hittites, the Gittites, the whatever. He's there. He's there. You know what, folks? When we serve the Lord, guess who's there? Guess who's there? It has consequences. Matthew did our Bible reading today. Did you notice about the false gods in Psalm 115? The psalmist says, you know what? God, the real God, is nothing like the false gods. Beginning in verse number 2, they're just nothing the same. He says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. You know what? We're too sophisticated these days to serve gods maybe of silver and gold. But you know what? They're still of our making. They're still what we've put or what we put ahead of Him. He said, they have mouths. They seem to be able to answer our problems, but they can't. They have eyes. They seem to be able to know what's going on and can provide guidance and a solution. They can't. They have ears. They have noses. They have hands. They seem to be exactly what we need, the gods of this world, and they're not. They're powerless. And then in verse number 8, He says, they that make them are likened to them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. You know what that's saying? Basically, that when we trust in things besides God, when we trust in getting money, when we trust in sexual relationships, when we trust in other things, what do they leave? Well, we get them, but they actually just leave us empty. They leave us empty. One writer said it like this: in the Western world, we are far too sophisticated for carved idols. Of course, but we have idols of our own, respectable idols, suited to 21st century sensibilities. If we worship the idol of the perfect body, the sweeping curves, or the chiseled abs, we will become as vain and self-focused as the models in the magazine. If we worship the idol of money, we will become as greedy, selfish, and cutthroat as the worst wolf on Wall Street. I hope you've heard that before. If we worship athleticism, we will imitate superstar athletes in their arrogance, their moral depravity, their self-obsession. If we worship the idol of power, we will mimic the flip-flopping and anything-goes popularity-obsessed politicians. On and on it goes. We become that to which we give our allegiance. If we give our allegiance to something that is useless, empty, fleeting, then we become useless, empty, and fleeting. That is the psalmist's surprising claim, his grave warning. It's not just idols that are empty and powerless. It's also the people who worship them. When we worship anything besides the Lord, it has consequences. Understand that you choose what you worship. Understand that you choose what you worship. Let me ask you, would you choose to worship this thing? Anybody know what this thing is? Besides ugly? It's an Old Testament God. In fact, he ended up on his face. Yeah, it's Dagon. It's Dagon. And it's in the, I think, Judges 5. Well, this is a god that the Philistines serve. And we would look at that and we'd say, nah, I wouldn't worship that. That's ridiculous. But you know what? We do choose what we worship. In fact, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity. But then he says, choose you this day. He is saying to me that I need to choose who I'm going to serve. But he's also saying who else needs to choose who they're going to serve. Each one of us, we need to choose. And it's an urgent matter. It matters. It's not just, oh, I think I'll start serving the Lord when I get to be older. He says, choose you this day, today, whom you're going to serve. Choose Him today. There's an urgency to it. We need to understand the importance of what we choose. Why does it matter? Why does it matter what I choose to worship, to serve? Why does it matter if I go for the, don't laugh too much, if I go for the physique? Now, all the more power to you. If you're strong, good on you, man. That's great. I just don't have it. You can be strong and not worship it. You can be rich, have a lot of money and not worship it. You can have relationship and not worship it. Anything, we can have most everything in life and not put it top. So why does it matter? Well, first of all, it matters for me. He says, you choose, and he says, but as for me, matters first of all for me. If I don't want to live an empty life, I need to put Him first. And then it matters to who? My house. You know what? I remember when I was a kid, I wanted to go to the cool church. I wanted to go to the cool church. They had all the activities. It was so cool. But no matter what I said, me and my brother both, Mom, Dad, our church just ain't cool. And this is when I didn't know the Lord, by the way. And they said, no. We trusted the Lord. We got to know the Lord at this church. They preached the gospel? No. You know, I got saved a few years later, and I'm glad. You know what? We think our relationship with the Lord doesn't matter. We think that when they make fun of us going to church, when they say, I'm not coming and you're stupid for doing it, that it doesn't matter. It's for waste. It's not. It's not. John Patton, a missionary to the South Islands, I forget where exactly, but man, his dad loved God. And his dad would pray for them every day. And John would see his dad pray. John Patton's dad, he would just pray, Lord, would you please save these people? Some of these people, they would actually eat the missionaries. And John Patton's dad, he would just pray, Lord, would you please save these people? Will you please? Well, John Patton, he grows up. Guess who John Patton goes to be a missionary to? He goes to be a missionary to those people who his dad prayed for. So can I tell you, your prayer, Lord, you help my family today. It matters. Your being in the Word, it matters. And you don't have to, family, I'm in the Word today. You don't have to, Lord! Or when we respond and we don't give the swearing back, even if we feel like it. Wow. Makes a difference. So there's, as for me and my house, I'm gonna honor Him. It'll make a difference. At a time. You know what made a difference? The people that came after. It says that after he died, he was such an influential man that they just kept serving the Lord. They just kept serving the Lord. Anybody that knew him, man, they just kept serving the Lord. You know, sometimes our Christianity, it'll actually inspire people to be more angry at us than not. That's just part of it sometimes. Very quickly, just the points now. Remember what the Lord has done for you in your life. If we're going to understand the importance of serving Him, first of all, just be thankful for His blessings. Verses 16 through 18, they said, we're not going to serve anything else. We're not going to forsake the Lord. We're going to trust Him. He's done too much for us. Verses 16 through 18, we just know the Lord is great. We trust Him. Next thing is, know that temptations to quit and to serve other gods will come. You know, it's tough sometimes. Putting the Lord first, it can be tough. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. You know, they incline your heart. What does that mean? You know, like the Lord is here. Sometimes it seems like an uphill to get to the Lord. It just seems like everything is going against you. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, it just gets tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. Well, you may not incline your feet, but we can incline what? We can incline our heart. Lord, I'm going toward you. Maybe an uphill battle right now. I'm almost to the end of my rope, but I'm going to tie a knot and hang on. I'm just going to trust you. And then be faithful to the Lord in what you already know. Be faithful to the Lord in what you already know. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And then have a visual reminder of your dedication to the Lord. Have visual reminders of your dedication to the Lord. I'm going to be careful here. It's not that you have to have little religious thingies out all around to, you know, as you go by, you touch it. Or as you go by, you say a little prayer just for good luck. But in our house, could there be those times where we have a little thing that says, worry less, pray more. Or just that little note, don't have my phone on, it's just that little note of the day on my phone, choose you this day whom you will serve. Just these little, because they did. They had visual reminders. They had the Bible. They set them statutes and an ordinance in Shechem. They had the book of the law and took a great stone and set it up there. They had that great big stone to remind them, hey, we're going to serve the Lord. And I realize we can have all these great big things and we can have all these signs, all these little plaques on and still live like the devil. You know, just those little reminders. You know, and you know what? I just want you to know, I want you to follow the Lord. And that's what we, as a church body, that's what one of the things is we do, is we come and we encourage. You may be having a trash week. You may be having the best week. What's that verse? Strengthen one another, and so much more the day you see the Lord's coming. Just encourage one another. You know what? Just that, keep on keeping on. Need those visual reminders. They needed those visual reminders because all these guys, they ended up living for the Lord. So, men, first of all, to us, we ain't perfect. We ain't. But you know what? Let's follow the Lord. And whether we have a man in our house that wants to follow the Lord or not, let's put up our hand. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord.